I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation Cure Master from S. Wallace Edwards & Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at Surrey Farms. .com or virginiatraditions.com. I bought you pepper. I bought you salt.
Burning down the house here every Sunday on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host. This is your weekly fix brought to you this 6th of February, 2011, by Sam Edwards and his crew there in Surrey, Virginia. Surreyano ham, fantastic American-made prosciutto style. This is your weekly fix of everything related to design, architecture, and the creative, as opposed to the performing or culinary arts.
Hear, hear.
Now, in recent weeks, we've been talking, we've been moaning about digital content as pertains to the world of architecture, which is an art and a science dedicated to making things in the physical world of reality. But for something a little bit different, I've invited Aaron Ginsberg here.
Hey.
To talk about things that are purely or primarily digital content, digital media in the digital world, and how those things are different, inherently different, because of the medium. And there are many, many different threads that we might follow. But before we jump right in, let's just have a little musical break just to get ourselves warmed up. Yeah, burning down the house on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Everything does count in large amounts, and as the world moves from delivering content in a physical form, print T-shirts.
Oh, yes.
Billboards, posters, flyers, take ones. We've got Heritage Radio Network postcards here because you can actually hand them to something. But the world is moving towards a world of digital presentation of content. So my question to you, Aaron, is does the content that we're conveying change because of the medium?
Well, you know, it's really funny you say that because just this past, about a week and a half ago, they were talking about, before Howard resigned, they were saying that... Howard Stern.
Resigned?
Resigned. He was saying that, you know, when everyone...
Oh, yeah, I was wishing. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, pretty soon he'll be at Heritage. You watch. What they were saying was that, you know...
Good, he can bring his money.
Yeah, exactly. And his good Jewish cooking.
So, they were saying before Howard re-signed...
That, you know, when everyone's able to stream everything and get every type of medium and media to whatever device they want to at any time from any company with any, via a aggregated subscription, you know, it's the content that's going to matter. So, you're going to want to have the best content. And, you know, another comment I want to make towards the first point we were making was that, you know, the whole reason I got into the digital, that I was into, got into making digital media and digital content,
yeah,
is because I was fucking scolded for so many years for making hard goods. You're never gonna sell this stuff, and you know, the real money is in stuff that's interactive and the user experience, and you know.
Well, it may be true.
It may be true, but there was a time when I know I'm a little bit younger than you guys, but there was a time when I was young where user experience was opening up a box of Jordans, and that was the user experience. You know, it wasn't pressing a button. It was actually opening the box. It was the out of box experience.
That's right. Right.
You know,
and we don't have that anymore. Although there's the download your podcast of Burning Down the House and playing it on your device.
It's a thing, sure.
But, you know, you don't get that fresh smell of Radio Brooklyn.
Yeah, and my question is, like, you know, I'm all about the digital media landscape, but how can we get that? Hmm. You know, and that's one of my, that's one of these things that I wrestle with, because when I'm doing graphics during the day, it goes like, I'll do concept art. I'll mostly paint using Photoshop and a Wacom tablet, right? So I'll paint.
Mm-hmm.
I'll paint. Here's five concepts. And I'll say, okay, we like these concepts. Let's render these concepts into something that's an avatar or something that's part of the user experience or a button or, a module.
You mean a digital button on a,
yeah,
on a graphic interface.
Yeah, on a graphic interface, you know.
So you're, as I understand it, your point is that there's something lacking when it's purely digital.
There's a lot.
On the other hand, I was having a conversation with a guest a couple of weeks ago who's putting together his next book.
Mm.
It's going to come out in print and also as an ebook. And for the ebook, what he's being told is it has to be a more rich experience. It has to have more bells and whistles.
It can't just be parts.
Yeah, well, it can't just be displaying a PDF of the printed page. There has to be other stuff that has links to other things, or maybe a soundtrack that goes along as you're reading it, in order for it to be exciting and appealing in a way that opening a book and you know, breaking the binding and that crack and the smell of the ink that still lingers on the printed page, that out of box experience.
So we can somehow still get that, but not actually have to open the box.
But you have to do it through things that are not olfactory and certainly not tactile.
Sure.
So we're left with visual and acoustic.
Mm.
At least for now. Okay, so your experience has been that you've been frustrated because you want to get back to the plane or the world of actual tactile physical stuff.
Yeah, I love things.
Well, that's too bad. I really wanted to talk about how digital media might change the content, but since you're stuck in the physical world, gosh,
It has changed the content of the work that I've been doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've become
much more of an illustrator. So like I thought that building web modules and web buttons.
Yeah.
Was gonna turn me into a web designer, and make my stuff rather conventional. But in fact, what it's done is it's really all to
it's
be
freed
honest,
you up to. To actually draw more?
To draw more. And
cool.
Now, you know, I always was like a bare bones guy, but when you start to learn how to use the Wacom tablets and when you start to learn how to paint and using the software, me, I'm like a 6-7 year Adobe user. I'm starting to get into Autodesk now. Sort of like I'm an advanced placer when it comes to Illustrator, and then as far as painting on Photoshop, I'm somewhat green, but I'm working on it.
That's good. So it's a new expressive medium.
For me, I've learned how to, for me in the past 6 months, or rather the past year since I got into the startup thing, and this is my second sort of run on it in 1 year, is that I've found that I've learned how to design more things since I left the physical plane.
The purely physical, yeah.
When I was on the purely physical, I was like, what can I make? Like, what the fuck, like... A light, like, can I make a? And so I would make like surfboards and skis and blankets because I'm like, you know, like I like utility and, you know, I like things, but I like things that are designed well. But, you know, I'm always trying to fill a gap. I'm always like, well, what product exists? You know, it's hard for me, admittedly, to say what product doesn't exist, and then design it. Mm-hmm. I've always been yeah. like, oh well, I like surfboards, so you know, I'll make a surfboard. That's cool, but
in that case, you're still. You're painting on a surfboard.
Yeah.
Oh, for our listeners who are not in the professional graphics world, a Wacom tablet is sort of like the old, you know, your parents would give this to you to play with in the back of the car. It's like those tablets where you take a magnet
mm-hmm.
and you draw on a slate. And in this case, it's all electronic and it shows up on your computer screen instead of right there in front of you on the tablet. Yeah. But it's a way of having a stylus.
Absolutely.
On a piece of digital matrix, enter freehand, mostly, forms straight into the computer graphics program.
Right. And right? Now if you use the Cintiq model, you can actually draw directly onto the canvas is your monitor.
Oh, cool.
Which is really cool.
It's really cool,
as they say.
What's a Cintiq?
It's a Wacom. It's just their name for their mod, for their their interactive pen display model is called the Cintiq, and it's quite breathtaking.
So it's a touchscreen monitor.
Yeah, it's a Wacom, just the same.
Yeah, yeah.
And you take it right, you go right on.
Right onto the monitor.
Right onto
just
the monitor.
Like the iPad, iTouch exactly. interface.
Exactly, except
but for graphic design.
For graphics, and you know, not just for graphics, but now it's like the styluses now have like shape dynamics attached to them. When you draw, mm-hmm. it looks like you're at it. When you pull a stroke,
mm-hmm.
the way you're, you know, it's pressure sensitive, tilt sensitive, and there's shape dynamics attached to the stroke.
Depending on which tip you're selecting as
correct,
your tool.
Correct. Uh-huh. So when you pull it, you've
yeah.
pulled it a natural stroke with your hand, and you've actually made a stroke that is opaque at the beginning and thin and then mm-hmm. gets thick as you sort of go into the
so
line.
So you could be doing really good Japanese or Chinese calligraphy
you
with
really,
this.
You could really do it. You could really use any pen tip you want. And, you know, you can make your own brush tips, too, once you get advanced on the Illustrator stuff.
Now, that's where how it looks will be a little bit different from the purely physical tools that we grew up learning how to manipulate.
Correct.
That'll be that'll be really kind of interesting.
I'm using a lot of glows. So what I mean by that is okay. So in the last 4 months, I've been like glow crazy, and by that I mean I'm
yeah. What's a glow?
So I'm basically just taking pure white and applying like a Gaussian blur to it, so that it makes and then I repeat
a Gaussian blur.
Yes, and then I repeat until it looks as though it's actually glowing.
Sort of like a magnetic trail or something, like a comet trail or something
you
in
know,
the sky.
I wish I had an example on my phone. It's more like you take like a pure white shape and then blur it and then blur it and then blur it and then blur it, and then if you do that like 4 times,
yeah.
the graphic looks like it's glow. It looks like it's glowing and
from
pulsating.
Within.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a real glow.
Does it have a frequency of pulsing or just? statically bring a pulse.
Bring me an action script guy, and it could definitely have a pulsating to it. But making things, making glows animate is labor intensive, and you need to know certain software for that. But I'm moving towards that, and that, to answer your question, you know, that's part of what's changing. Is I'm getting into motion.
So the graphic content
graphics is
in fact different because the tools are. Are different.
The tools are more advanced, and I'm getting into motion graphics, and I'm getting into web comps and layer comps, and it's turning into like a whole. It's turning into a different way of designing. It's not as bare bones. There's some bells and whistles on it, as you said before.
You mean it's not like Pac-Man graphics anymore?
Well, it's more like when I was doing a lot of stuff on the physical, it was like flat objects, you know?
Sure.
And my drawings were my drawings, and my graphics were my graphics. So if I did a painting, then that was a painting. And then if I did a graphic, well, that was sort of like a flat object where I've sort of chosen focal points where the black is going to hit, and that's what the graphic is.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've sort of, using the Wacom and also experimenting on the digital plane, I've like linked the two, or not linked, but I'm getting to a point now where like my drawings are becoming graphics.
So it's blurring the distinction between these different kinds of product, and it's portable from or in between different ways of expressing it. It could be digital, or you could take this digital creation and you could turn it into a silk screen and then turn it into graphics on t-shirts, right?
You could. The great thing about having something on the digital plane, though, is that you can simulate any amount of levels of light. There goes my phone.
Uh-oh. That's the FCC. We've exceeded our limit of F-bombs.
Yep. Already said too many. No. So,
was that your phone?
It was my phone.
I'm sorry. We have to flog you now.
We have to flog me.
Jack, who is this guy?
That was my alarm.
Oh, good.
Oh, look, I have Art Bell. Art Bell comes up directly as soon as I press my phone. Art Bell is right there.
Art Bell. You mean the overnight radio conspiracy guy?
Yeah, that's my guy.
That's your guy?
That's my guy.
Is Art still doing radio?
I don't know if Art still does radio because I don't subscribe to Coast anymore. But you know, we always got Howard. He'll never go away.
Yes, but Howard doesn't believe in UFO people, and he believes in.
He would probably say, "Oh, Robin." Oh, Robin, that's preposterous, Robin.
He believes in women and fart jokes.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And he also does transcendental meditation.
Oh, he talked about it on Letterman the other night. So,
what did he have to say?
He said, "I'm growing gray matter right now, Robin. I'm growing gray matter right now." As
Robin was with him on Letterman?
No. He literally said he was growing gray matter, but he didn't say Robin. I threw the Robin in there to sort of be...
Oh, I see.
Humorous.
Well, we could introduce you to Howard, but so I have a link to Howard through his producer. But that's a whole nother thread. We're not here to talk about Mr. Stern. We're here to talk about you and where new tools will take us in terms of being able to create perhaps new content that we had never thought about.
Yeah, and you know, I was new to it too, and at the current place that I work, which literally it's not a forward facing company, it's literally just a passion project for
it's a like, backwards facing company.
Sort of. I think if you look up startup in the dictionary, it'll say backwards facing company, or backwards moving company.
Most startups are trying to solve a problem that's already become obsolete.
Exactly, which is where we stopped the bar. And decided to do the math first. So, you know, we brought in an algorithm guy who's like, you know, whatever, the best algorithm guy. He builds math problems that learn as they decay and they grow as they get older. I don't know. It's unbelievable. But
well,
in
that's
any
real
case,
nice if you're into coding.
Yeah.
That's
well, great. You know, we got some brilliant guys doing that too. But for me, it's been a situation where now I'm building infographics around an algorithm. So that's been like a new thing for me. And you like step into this thing like, I was like, you know, like everyone here is fucking smarter than me.
Okay, well, it's just...
I would be like, everyone's smarter than me.
You're throwing a lot of nomenclature out here. I have to take a breath. Jack, we have another musical break and we'll reframe the conversation and get back to us in about 3.5 minutes.
Without you, be there to move me. It's my own thing. He's always to inspire.
Down the house on heritageradionetwork.com. We're here with Aaron Ginsberg.
Hello.
Who's a combatant in the war of art, fighting with the new digital tools. The whole thing of digital media, we'd like it to be as rich as the physical experience, but we're really just taking baby steps and discovering what the digital tools can do.
There are vast gaps, vast emotional gaps, as far as what we're getting from these digital products. But we're moving towards something different. You know, in the early stages of the project I'm working on now, it was this push and pull of like, all right, well, what does Facebook do? What does Twitter do? And what do these guys do? And then, you know, after a while, you're just like, you know, forget about these guys because we're not going to be an opportunist. Or we're not going to try to replace these guys. We're going to lean into frame, as it were. You know, it's better to lean into frame. You know, don't try to change people's behavior. But if you can slip in something that's more profound to the product that will take it up a notch, then that's a direction worth going in.
You mean like content that you could insert as some sort of like video content that could be accessed through Facebook?
Well, you know, I think.
I mean, already we've got ways of linking to external videos, which is kind of interesting, in terms of like taking what's basically a bulletin board service to the next level of people can. You
I
know,
mean, Facebook is GeoCities, you know.
Yeah,
it's Angel Fire or whatever.
Yeah,
except you know.
Except now you can link
on whatever.
Now you can link steroids. To an external YouTube or some other video thing.
So you are the game, or you are the
right
utility.
Exactly.
You are the product.
Yeah.
But you know, my worry about it early on was that you know this guy wasn't sitting in a room thinking how can we change the world. He was sitting in a room like I want to do something. You know, when I'm in a think tank over with these guys at the startup I work, they're like, who can we perish? Who's the most brilliant person on earth we can parachute in and find this solution? In the back of my head, I'm like, you know, you're too late. You know what I'm saying? You're too late. You're already Gary figured it out, you know? And that's what gets me down, because I'm on the design side. I can make beautiful stuff, but
you're not on the format. You're not discovering new ways of formatting the information. You're just creating the graphic content.
Yeah, you know, I thought I was a part of finding new ways of, you know, I thought I was a part of finding a new platform for media. But, you know, it turns out, you know, there's a hierarchy and I'm on the graphics. And so sometimes I get lost in the digital plane. It's not always easy, man. In fact, it's always hard. It's always hard. You know?
Be kind of cool, though, if your surfboard had an electronic surface on it.
Yeah,
how a surfboard is. I mean, I grew up in Jersey and I used to be a surfer guy. Of course, you know, surfing in Jersey sucks because the beaches are too short. But, you know, how there. Oh my God. Would you.
Could you please put that someplace
where the acoustic environment is sequestered?
Yeah, I'll just fucking take everything off. So stupid of me.
All right. So, but back to the first question. You do these tools, the content of what's being presented is what I'm hearing, is pretty much boxed in by previous experience with print and the planar reality of physical art.
It's one of the reasons there was such a ramp for me. It was a very long ramp. And it took a second for me to like really to understand that it wasn't about, you know, the plane, as it were. It's more about the experience of that plane and how the user gets it. And that's, you know, there was a little bit of a ramp to that.
Now, so you must know a fair number of people who are experimenting in the digital world, yeah?
Yeah, they're all soft.
Soft.
Yeah, they're all
in the head.
They're all missing.
They don't do push-ups. What?
They're all missing. Everyone's trying to do the same thing, man.
Do you know any digital sculptors? Now, see, that would be kind of fun.
Well, you know, this whole proto thing is blowing up big. I don't know if you know about 3D printers.
3D printers, sure.
Yeah, it's blowing up.
But
huge.
Explain it for the lay people out there.
Okay, so basically, I can just like they do in The Fifth Element when they rebuild. The lady, slice by slice. It's like that. I can take a vector image.
I don't recall Mila Jovovich being sliced up into bits.
So basically they take the arm from the ruins, right?
And they
put it inside their little capsule, right? And then the scientists map the genetic material.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And then it goes in little slices.
Oh yes, right.
And then
it's
all the axes all together.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's what a 3D. So we can do that now. So I can make things without moving parts, and that would lend itself to say that I can make several things that move together, and therefore, if I wanted to, I could print a simple machine.
Yeah.
On my desk.
Right.
I could print a monkey wrench
from a 3D construct of
vectors. Sure, using AutoCAD or what have you.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
Whatever you
and then it goes through I guess it's a laser cutter that works in three dimensions.
I'm not sure exactly what it is. I'm just like, I mean, everyone's really been into it for a while, but now I'm just like, okay, what is this thing? You know, what is it? What can I do with it? Because you know, they can print with plasma now. You know, they can print lungs and hearts and stuff like that.
Yeah, but they don't necessarily have genetic constituents, so you know can't
sure,
just plug
sure.
it into your body,
sure.
right?
Sure, but you know,
but in time,
using cord cells, you might be able to print a heart with plasma, and then use cord cells to plug it in and make it work in someone's body. Who knows? Now, is that the right thing to do? I don't know. Me personally, I think the 3D printing thing is this time 2 years from now, everyone's going to have a 3D printer.
So if you were, say, working on an e-book, and they mention something in the e-book, you might be able to say, hey, that looks interesting, and you could just order up a 3D discrete thing.
And print it.
Through your local, almost like the red box of video dispensers. It could
exactly.
be a 3D printer at your Gristides or something like that.
Exactly. And
you know, call it in and they, you know, and it would just put in your credit card and it would just zap it out for you.
It would just zap it out line by line. It'd be layer by layer, you know, plastics. And you know, from my understanding is that once you buy the hardware, the refilling it with with the ink, as it were, is relatively
expensive.
I heard that refilling is affordable. I think it's like getting the hardware that's the expensive part. And once you have it, I think it's a little bit easier to refill. But listen, it's something I'd love to do, because me personally, like, I work with a lot of people that are like nuclear engineers, and we're always talking about building stuff.
Stuff,
you know,
discrete things.
Yeah, things that move, you know, things that have, you know, purpose. And, you know, don't get me wrong, the digital plane is great.
So you could work back and forth between the world of just what you see on a flat screen and also the possibility that what you're looking at could be fabricated for you to have around the house.
Absolutely.
To remind you of, I mean, you could have your surfboard designs there, and somebody could do 3D printing for you, and they'd have a little tiny Aaron Ginsberg surfboard with your design perhaps engraved in it or something like that.
Be very elegant. Totally into it.
You could also, I suppose, design custom tattoos for people that way.
Yeah, you could make tattoos that are 3D that could stick out of your skin.
Ouch.
Ouchies.
Wow, you could have horns.
Wow, how
demonic.
Imagine if you could... Oh, no, that's a little weird.
What's that?
A little weird. No, I was going to say you could put a 3D printer in your head so that you could print horns out of your head and then, like, cut them off, you know? But if you wanted to print them out again, you could go...
Jack, what did you give this boy to drink?
I think it's the Merlot.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. So... how long have you actually been playing with these tools? You yourself?
Six
or 7 years, you say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've been doing art since I was... I've been an illustrator since I was a kid, but I've been on I've been making graphics and drawing digitally since I was in college, so it's, yeah, 6-7 years, something like that.
So do you go back and forth between creating digitally and then, you know, plain old going to... I don't know... Well, I really don't know the art supply places around here, but
Blick is a ripoff. I mean, you want to vomit with these people, but you know, Utrecht is nice, and you know, Pearl is kind of good. But you know, I love to paint. Of course, I love it. I like to paint, and then I like to use my graphics to make silk screens, and then silk screen on top of the paintings. That's my favorite thing to do.
Oh, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, that's my passion work.
It's kind of like the reverse of Andy Warhol, where he'd do a silk screen and then paint over it.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll like paint landscapes, and then I'll silk screen I'll make a story about the landscape and make a graphic, and then silk screen the story of the graphic or the story of the landscape over the landscape. It becomes sort of like a little storybook graphic, little story.
Wow.
Yeah.
And with a 3D printer, you could...
Who knows?
You could start doing a landscape that has impasto effects, or actually topography.
Absolutely.
And you could print that out, and then you could manually paint over it. Wow. The possibilities...
Are literally endless.
Are manifold. Yeah. Wow. I have to think about that. Jack, let's have... just a couple, 2 minutes of the next one. Thank you.
This way, what a wicked thing to do. What a wicked thing to say. You never felt this way. What a wicked thing to do. To make me dream of you. And I want to fall in love.
Oh, I want to fall in love.
Oh my God, please.
Oh, I want to fall in love. I love that sort of desert music. It's Chris Isaacs. Thank you. Here we are on heritageradionetwork.com. This has been Burning Down the House with Aaron Ginsberg talking about digital tools, a whole world of digital media, brought to you by Sam Edwards from Surrey, Virginia, the makers of Surreyano ham, the American prosciutto. And I have had some a couple years ago at the Fancy Food Show, and it was better than a lot of Italian prosciutto. I have to say, it's worth searching out. If you live in the New York metropolitan area, I'm sure you can find it.
Well, then.
And that is if you eat piggy. Mm. Some of us only eat veggie stuff. I just wanted to spend a few minutes talking about what are the possibilities for the future of e-books that are not just a static display of a PDF of the printed page. What are your thoughts about where we might take e-book publishing?
Well, you know, it's funny because I just saw this thing called, there's this movie coming out called Sucker Punch, right? And they do this, and it's this big, like, it's this movie about some woman who, you know, lives in a comic book and blows up, you know, robots and stuff like that. So, in any case, the website...
A woman who lives in a comic book.
Yeah, you know, it's like one of these, like, you know, like a post-apocalyptic girls that wear barbed wire around their necks and you know what I'm talking about. In any
you mean
case,
Tank Girl?
Something like that. Okay. Something like that. But, you know, with our new technology that we can, you know, make the screens just explode with activity.
Okay.
So in any case, the website is almost like this pop-up book.
It's cool.
Like a pop-up book of, like, things. And, like, just thinking about what we talked about before with the Wacom tablet, using, like, shape dynamics to make things look like you actually drew them.
Uh-huh.
Think about, like, using 3D printing and the digital mediascape. Now, I know there's a disconnect there. I know there's a disconnect between 3D printing and graphics.
Not necessarily. If you get into having an e-book that is a 3D, visual 3D
exactly.
ebook.
So, I mean, imagine if we had screens that were completely malleable and mm-hmm. images could pop out of them. Like, forget about 3D glasses. I'm talking about, like, a screen that was literally plasma, that I want to see an aerial view of New York, and literally your screen comes out as an aerial view of New York.
That would be kind
of
cool.
No,
yeah.
People do it, man. It happens. It's going on in Japan. I'm telling you. They got cell phones that you can, like, put your hand through the display.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a holographic display.
You could, like, go like this, and, like, you know, the Google Maps will come up. It's concept phones.
Huh.
Google concept phones. I wish I had, like, a, you know, a good URL that I could throw out there, but I don't offhand.
Oh, but while we're at it, you have a few URLs.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You can pitch yourself.
Oh, okay. If you want to go to thedoverchester.com.
Dovercheester.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Thedoverchester.com.
And what will people see there?
They'll see mostly my personal work, a lot of hard goods. Also, you know, I have gunwash.com, GUNWASH.
What is that?
Well, that's where my design personality stuff lies. So, not as much my graphics, but more about my personal life, I guess you'd say.
Oh, I see. So you're living your personal life as performance art.
You know, I like to consider myself a design personality. You can tell me I'm not. I'm fine with that. You know, I like to consider myself.
Well, we just met, so I'm not in a position to. to comment yet.
Yeah. So that's more what I do. I also have ducksworthny.com. DUCKSWORTHNY.com.
But is that about your love of hunting? What?
It's Ducksworth is a brand. I'm wearing a shirt right now. It's basically.
Let's have a look.
Yeah. I mean, it's Ducksworth.
Oh, it's very colorful. There's a toady thing there.
So on the back, you'll see all the. These are. It's fading out, but these are
DW07 Ducksworth, okay.
Species of frogs that are endangered, and they're fading out as we go down the back of the shirt.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm really into that, but
fading, so therefore they're becoming extinct.
It's supposed to, they're becoming extinct. So we faded them out the placement of the text. So, but what I was saying about DW is, if you go there now, it's a brand that I made up to sort of I'm using it as a ability. I'm using it as my window to take my graphics and reconnect with my outdoor skier, snowboarder self. Which, since I moved to New York, which was when I was 17, I haven't been able to connect with, or rather, I've stopped myself from connecting with it because of whatever anxiety. However, if you go to Duxworth,
too anxious to get on a bus and go to Hunter Mountain.
Yep, exactly. Oh, and they went to Hunter Mountain last week, and my friend broke his shoulder. And my boss said you can't go skiing because if you break your hand, there's going to be a problem. So I don't know when I'm going to get to go skiing or snowboarding again. But if you go to DuxworthNY.com right now, all you're going to see is an animation that says, "I'm sorry for being mean, Victoria, because I miss my ex-girlfriend, so I turned my website into
What's Victoria have to say in response?
She doesn't even know about it. I don't think, I was, it's more part of the story, it's more part of the story than I'm really, trying to get her back, it's more me just, using.
It would probably be helpful if she knew that it was there.
Yeah, but, it's more, I don't even want her back
You need to change it to, "I'm not sorry."
Yeah, maybe. That might be a good solution, actually. The reason I put it up is because I was like, the whole thing.
I mean, isn't that kind of, here you are, a man of design, and you're saying, "I'm sorry."
Yeah.
How about like, "Well, I did what I had to do, Victoria."
Nah, it's like it gives me a window for me to say, or it gives a window for others to say, especially those who are designers, to say, "You know what? I have stuff like that in my life, and that's cool that you're using your art to
say you're sorry."
To say you're sorry. Yeah, that's important to me, man. I'm a sensitive guy. That's why the digital plane hasn't been so forgiving to me. I'm so sensitive, man.
Ah, okay.
I get to the point where I get made fun of.
That's why you listen to Howard, too.
Yeah,
it appeals to your unsensitive side.
My neuroses, too. Neuroses. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's get back just for a couple more minutes to the possibilities for where ebooks might go. I mean, right now they're limited. The Kindle's a grayscale kind of boring experience.
Listen, man, with the iPad, I don't know if you saw Flipboard.
Yeah.
Okay, so if Flipboard, which by the way is an aggregator of social networking apps, and
right,
they basically make your own magazine.
Right.
In other words, you go through your iPod as if you're looking at a magazine about you.
Right.
Basically.
All your interests.
Yeah. So you open up Flipboard and you're looking through the Aaron magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Except everyone gets to have their own.
Right.
So,
or you could sell a subscription to the Aaron magazine, and other people who don't have the wherewithal or the interests to want to get inside their own heads could get inside your head.
Yes.
And they could subscribe to your Flipboard web stream.
Yeah. And it's getting out of my head has been one of the things that holds me back as a designer. I know that I don't want to be too tangential with it, but being in my head is a lot of what's messed up my workflow as far as being a designer and being able to keep things moving and elevate and not plateau, and every project you do make it better and more important and more poignant. And
I guess in the end that's why we end up having to come back to physical art, because we do live in corporeal bodies, and the visuals all very good, but we do have to get around to the tactile.
Yeah, well, luckily the fucking iPad has a touchscreen. Sorry for this. Pardon my French.
Oh, that's okay. The alarm hasn't gone off again yet, so
I
guess we're okay.
No, I'm so embarrassed, Curtis. Oh, my God.
It's all right.
My alarm went off twice.
Next time we'll make you have to eat your iPhone.
I'm going to eat it. And my boss who gave it to me for the purposes of making an app will be very upset. I'll just be like, "Listen, I was on the radio and..."
That's right. I couldn't make the app because I was too busy plugging your business. Well, plug your boss. That's fine.
Oh,
got a couple minutes before we close this out.
No, there's nothing.
You don't
really
want to plug your boss?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. We'll circle back and we'll give you a full recap on when the product is released. Other than that, I can't really talk much.
What the product's going
to
be?
I'm like an NDA slave. I'm like a slave to the NDA. You know how it is.
Not disclosure.
Yeah, blah, blah,
a non-disclosure
blah, blah,
agreement.
It's
sure, sure, sure.
It's because there's math. You know, they get nervous when there's math. They think if there's math, then if they take our math, then they'll know the secret sauce to our product and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
having the recipe for Coca-Cola.
Exactly. Yeah. That is an example. You see why it was kind of hard for me to parachute into the digital landscape? Yeah, I'm like a painter.
Because you're afraid of the secret sauce?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I'm a little bit scared of the secret sauce.
All right.
Okay. You know, I'm a little bit scared of it.
Cool. Well.
Okay, so I'll answer your ebook question really quick.
Yeah, that's good.
The Retina display and the APIs for a lot of these social networking sites have made it pretty much possible to do anything on these things. And if you have a good designer and a good UI guy and someone who knows how to use Maya or 3D Studio Max and ActionScript, you know what? An ebook can do anything you freaking want. Because at the end of the day, an ebook is a website.
Right. To the extent that your e-reader has a capability of reaching out into the internet and grabbing content.
I think that's going to get more and more and more interactive now that everything is touchscreen. And I'm not saying I'm a huge advocate for the touchscreen. I think it's, you know, whatever. I could live without it. But because it's instated and because everything is Retina display now, that gap is going to begin to close.
Isn't most art retinal display?
Yes, it is.
I mean physical, actual, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
We touch it. But now we're touching something. I wouldn't even know how to say it. We're touching something.
A surface that then responds to our touch.
Yeah, that makes things that we find comfortable.
Well, okay. That gives me an idea of it could be, you know, like you could have like your Tamagotchi. You could have a digital pet that if you pat it on your iPad, you know, it purrs.
So
if you rub the fur the wrong way, it bites you.
So
a little spark comes out and gets you.
So without disclosing anything, you've already began to touch a little bit on the product that I work on.
Okay,
so
very cool.
Even disclosing anything.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're soon to become unemployed, but thank you for coming on Burning Down the House.
There you go.
I appreciate that.
On the head.
This has been Burning Down the House every Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host, and sometimes an architect. Keep the faith. Speak with you again real soon.
Thank you so much, Curtis.
Thank you, Aaron.